Bill, I'm normally an alderman, but tonight the mayor has given me a chance to see what the atmosphere is like at the rostrum. So I'm going to be in charge of this meeting tonight with his presence nearby in case we need some help, which is entirely possible. But this is the committee of the whole meeting, and it looks like all members of the council are present except for Alderman Dantino. And we do not need necessarily a roll call, as I understand. So first item on the agenda would be to consider the consent agenda. Is there somebody who's willing to make a motion?
So moved.
By Alderman Singer, by Alderman Flanagan is seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is passed. Approve the minutes from September 13th, September 20th. That was consent. My mistake. Thank you. Already he has, which is fine. On the items in business, we have the presentation for the International Cultural Exchange Committee. And before I have them come to the front, I want to read a letter from the mayor of the village of Croisset to our mayor. And he did send it to us in French. And so you may have that one, Mr. Mayor. I've got the one that's in English, so at least I can read this. He says, with this letter, I'd like to extend my thanks to you for welcoming the delegation from the city of Croisset on this day. The delegation consists of Karine DeMarco, president of Croisset Sans Frontières, Croisset Without Borders is the interpretation, and Christine Overy, member of the city council representing the city. She and her husband stayed at my house during the week. It is an honor for us to further develop the relationship between our two cities by including both cultural as well as artistic exchanges during this visit. We are proud to have five participants from Croisset and Les Vésinets, which is a neighboring city, represented in the group of artists who will have the opportunity to show their works in Geneva and in Batavia. We are very happy to have the pleasure of welcoming your Geneva artists during our Fête de Les Grignoliers in 2009. And hope that your artist will finally remember the occasion, both from an artistic as well as a touristic point of view. We hope to be able to renew, that is, develop these types of exchanges in the near future. Ideas for such events abound with our local cultural associations. It is therefore with great pleasure the city of Croisset will meet with the city of Geneva, and it is my wish that this friendly encounter will prove to be the occasion for fruitful exchanges in order for us to continue to write our mutual history. With this thought in mind, I send you, dear Mayor Burns and colleague, my very best and cordial greetings, Jean-Roger Davin, Mayor of Croisset. There you are, sir.
Very nice. I'm going to keep the English translation taped to the back of the French one, so in case anyone asks.
And then to make the presentation from the International Cultural Exchange Committee, Cynthia Albright, who is the chairperson of the committee, will make the presentation and talk about the recent visits of residents of Croisset, Sur Seine, to Geneva.
Yeah.
Thank you.
David Ball, Sue Collier, and Angela Chalberg-Poole. So what I've passed out to you this evening is the program that we had planned. Some of you probably know that we've had an ongoing relationship with Croisset Sur Seine for about 5 years, and this is the second time that a delegation has come from Croisset to visit Geneva, and we have had one official delegation that traveled there 2 years ago. So we hope to continue this exchange, a cultural exchange. And as you look down the list here, I think we did a great job I must say so, of introducing them to the culture in our area. We had chosen a theme of pioneers and the prairie. And so the tours that we did, the lectures that we had, et cetera, all tied in with that. And on the back side, I've listed the city and nearby institutions and individuals and businesses without whose help we could not have put this together. We start by planning a schedule. We met them at the airport, transferred them to 9 host homes. Some of our aldermen here were hosts and with their families. Thank you. And then we had this schedule. So they're here in Geneva for 4 days, and eventually we'll have some exchange program to visit them again when they get home and have a chance to think about putting that together. So it is typical of our exchange to offer a gift to the other city, the partner city, when we visit. And this year, the people from Kwasi, there were 15 in the delegation, brought with them the painting of one of their renowned painters, Pierre Ranaud. And the painting sits here on the easel. It was presented to the city of Geneva. And Pierre is an elderly gentleman. He was born in 1927. He was in the metals trading industry or business in Paris, and eventually when he retired, that's when he decided to learn how to paint, and he is self-taught. He's considered to be their iconic impressionist painter in the area. Kwasi is well known as a cradle of impressionism, where people like Renoir, Monet would go out on weekends to paint, and he paints in the style of the impressionists. So this is a gift to our city, to our mayor, and to our city council. I hope that we can present it, we do present this to you, rather, and hope it finds a very suitable place here in Geneva. So with that, Mayor Burns.
Yes, please. Do you want me to grab the microphone, Gene? You want to see if that lady's working?
Is that like a pair of
Someone
singers?
Have a camera.
A pair of singers, the artists?
Oh, who needs a microphone? This is going to look lovely in my living room. I need to apologize to the good mayor of Kwasi and, of course, the delegation that came and obviously those from Geneva who hosted the delegation. I had actually began my new job that very night when all, you know what, broke loose in terms of the delegation being here. So my schedule was interrupted considerably. But I heard from the good Alderman Chuck Brown and Sam Hill and others who participated that the week was splendid. Our friends from France enjoyed their visit very much, and clearly I think they underscored their friendship with us and ours with them, not only in the exchange of the gift, but of course in terms of the strengthening of the relationship as well. So very exciting. Good. Nobody got their car towed or anything else. That's good. That's awesome. Well, that's good. That's even better. Well, on behalf of the citizens of Geneva, on behalf of the city council, on behalf of the professional staff, and all who will visit City Hall, I assure you we will find an appropriate spot here in this historic building to display what we consider to be very soon an historic painting. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Does anybody else want to say a few words? Anyone? Anything at all? Microphone. You got to have some cool French stories, man. Did anybody break the law that we shouldn't know of, or nothing? Golly.
Mr. Mayor, if I may add a little.
Please, Alderman Brown.
Each of the 6 artists who came with the delegation, actually one had to send her paintings in the bags of others. They came with a large amount of luggage. They actually brought 6 artwork, each of the artists, and they were displayed not only at Gallery 28 here in Geneva, but they were also displayed at the Water Street Gallery in Batavia, which is also a beautiful art gallery in the area. And it was really well received by everybody that came through. And as I say, they went out of their way. They had a huge amount of luggage carting this ceramics, sculpture, paintings, back and forth from Kwasi. But they... Everybody was quite pleased in there. They really do have some fine artists there, just as we do in Geneva and Batavia. So it was a wonderful visit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yes.
And thank the committee, the International Cultural Arts Exchange Committee. Several members are here, I see, and they all worked very hard, and those of us who participated as hosts were very appreciative of the efforts, and we enjoyed the relationships that were built in that category. So are there any other questions or comments from the council or the audience? All right, next on the agenda is to consider the draft resolution authorizing investment of city funds using PMA Financial Network Incorporated.
So move.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. And who? Mrs. Flint. Dawn. Alderman Vogelsberg. There she is. I was looking over that way. Okay, all those in favor?
Yes, Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, Mr. Chairman, with your approval, ask a question of the city treasurer, Mr. McQueenie.
Are we there yet?
First, a word of praise, Mr. McQueenie. Ever since I've been on the finance committee many, many years ago, I've been following the city cash flow, cash funds, investments, and I think the city's done a very good job, and especially since you've been treasurer, I think there's been a superb job done by you and the city staff working. It's very complicated, keeping the fund balances, the cash flows, and the investments up to date with short-term and medium-term investments as needed. And I think kudos to you and the staff you work with. I think you've done a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, Alderman Brown. It's
of course, that's followed by a question. Now, since you've done such a wonderful job, and I know that your professional business involves just this sort of interactions, why is it that you're recommending that PMA can do at least as good a job as you've done for the past few years with the cooperation of the city staff?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons, and I'll try and expand on them, and if you guys want to chime in, feel free. But I think there's a couple of things here. This is just another alternative. We're still going to do the same things that we've done previously, which is, for the most part, tending to kind of go out to our local community banks, some of whom are local, you know, headquartered, and some of whom are not. And we will continue to do that. So really, by adding PMA, we're just adding another alternative, and multiple alternatives, because they aggregate a lot of other banks, certificates of deposit, and other forms of investment. So this is just adding another alternative. There's not a commitment to use PMA. There's essentially, as we go out to our local banks for quotes on rates that we can get on investment, we'll do the same thing with PMA. We'll compare them. When we go out direct, we're not paying necessarily a fee. PMA, there is a fee related to that, but again, there's a much larger universe that they're drawing from. So they can potentially bring some higher yielding investments. So that's one thing, another alternative to invest. The second thing is they offer some tools, some cash flow forecasting, and some other, for lack of a better word, tools that we don't have internally here, nor do we have a real deep staff who can develop cash flow forecasts and do what-if scenarios. And I think that Joan has worked with them at some of the other municipalities that she's been at and has been pleased with what they bring to the table in that regard, so we feel like we'll be able to benefit from that.
Is it possible that because they have more funds to invest that they can invest a slightly larger fraction of their funds in medium term as opposed to short term and hence get slightly better yields? Or is there any way is this in any sense a sweeping into a sweep fund, or are our funds still completely separate from everyone else's?
I don't know if Joan, you want to Alan or Courtney, I think that
we're somewhat limited right now by our investment policy. It limits us to a year, I believe, right now. So we're going to also do an investment policy review. And then the goal of the cash flow analysis is so that we might be able, instead of going so short-term with all of our investments, if we do a cash flow analysis, we'll be able to invest some of our money for a longer term and perhaps get a better yield. Hopefully the goal is to improve our investment earnings.
Well, it's a high fence to climb because you've done well. So what about insurance? Is there any
We'll risk? Purchase CDs up to FDIC insurance limits, so $250.
But there's no more or less risk involved than in doing these transactions through local banks,
no.
And local sweep funds, et cetera. Are these backed by government securities, most of these?
We're buying mostly CDs up to the FDIC insurance limits, so it will be insured.
And the fees are built into their schedule so that the yield they quote is the yield after fees, is that
right,
correct?
Correct. So we'll be able to compare that with local banks.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think you're doing a good job, and it sounds like a reasonable way to go. I will vote for it.
Thank you.
Yes, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 6 of this documentation reads, the treasurer and the city administrator or their successors currently holding the office or position are designated as authorized officials with full power and authority to effectuate the investments and withdrawals of monies. Oftentimes, some of the investments that I know that we may be involved with, when one withdraws those investments from some of these kinds of funds, there are penalties incurred. Is that the situation here as well?
We don't intend to withdraw any funds early or have any penalties.
So are you saying that this...
At maturity.
How long are these funds are going to be locked in?
We don't. It's going to be individual investments, CDs. It's just opening up a wider number of banks that we can choose from to select CDs.
Oh, that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah. So it's the same types of investments we're going to be purchasing. We just have more. We'll have more banks to choose from, and they actually research the banks. They know the banks are sound. They keep financial data on all the banks.
Okay.
And
well, that sounds admirable. Thank you for that explanation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Are there other questions? Yes, Alderman Marks.
Just a couple. I'm sorry. Is PMA registered with the SEC? I was looking at the website for any background and did not find that this weekend.
Yes, we are. All of the investment professionals at PMA have their Series 7 security license, and we're registered with FINRA.
All right. Yeah, I was on FINRA's site. I put in PMA, but it just didn't come up.
It might have come up under PMA Securities.
I didn't use it. I used Financial Network.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could you identify yourself, please?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm Courtney Rios. I'm with PMA Financial. I'm the investment advisor for our municipal clientele at PMA.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from the desk? Any questions from the audience? Is there a motion to approve this?
Yes.
Don't move.
There was.
We got one. All right. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that one passes. And the next is the on the agenda is the customer appreciation sale, October 20th. I'm sorry, I'm skipped one. Strawflower Shop. Okay. Mm-hmm. Consider a request from Strawflower Shop, sorry about that, to use the city right-of-way at 210 West State Street for customer appreciation sale October 23 and 24.
So moved.
Second.
Anybody from Strawflower Shop or anybody else want to make any comments? Yes. You want to, sir? Would you please identify yourself?
The Green Hornet. James Gender, owner and chef of Chef James Place. I came up here today. I was asked to come up here today from some of the people down in the administration. And, you know, along with you giving permission for us for them to use the sale and things like that. I'm teaming up with Strawflower, like I have with several other businesses over the last month, donating a lot of free things just to get the crowds to come in. And there's a little bit of zoning issues and things like that. To the point where, you know, to me, you know, what I'm allowed to prepare, what I'm not allowed to prepare, things like that. I've been teaming up with a lot of different, you know, businesses in the area trying to get more business into Geneva. And, you know, I'm doing this out of my pocket, and, you know, it is marketing and everything like that. But at the same time, you know, I have a pretty good reputation in town. And, you know, we have a pretty good draw. And we're joining with 95.9 Radio for the Strawflower function. You know, we're doing a lot of advertising, and, you know, we're putting a lot into this. I was going to do it over at my new location that everybody approved, but we're going to wait till the spring for that one. But anyway, some of the rules and regulations with me being a catering as to what, you know, I can only bring ready-to-eat food and things like that. I'm a licensed caterer from the city of Geneva. I'm also nationally certified at ServeSafe, state ServeSafe, and, you know, also county. I'm allowed to prepare any type of food I want any location I go to. So I, you know, there's certain things that, you know, I'm a little confused about, hitting some roadblocks about people, you know, saying that I can't prepare ready to eat or, you know, food there on different locations and things like that. So I want to come in and, you know, make this clear that I am a very qualified person. I mean, any other individual that just wants to make food on location and things like that, I can see them being denied because they're not trained, they're not in the business, things like that. But, you know, I'm just getting confused on a lot of roadblocks lately. You know, I've been teaming up with a lot of people down 3rd Street, down State Street and things like that. And we're just trying to really bring a lot of things to Geneva. You know, I mean, the city's been really working hard. The chamber's been really working hard. But it's really up to the merchants and, you know, the restaurant owners and things like that to also join hands and really, you know, do what we can to really try to get some people in here and, you know, make a difference. And, you know, you did approve the use of that. My question is the use of, you know, me being out there cooking and things like that also, which, you know, I'm not sure, you know, where we're at with that yet. I think Paul might have an answer for us.
I would
but, yeah, I you know, so I wanted to address this tonight. I came up. I don't even know if Tom from Strawflower knows I was coming today. Like I said, you know, a few people downstairs, Paul, one of them told me to come to the meeting tonight to, you know, voice my opinion. But, you know, I've been here for 10 years as a resident and 7 years in business, and I've been doing nothing but, you know, supporting the community, the football teams and things like that, and the merchants. And, you know, I just think it's time that we have to really look at our zoning and what people can do for each other outside, you know, only being able to do it during events. I mean, because, you know, events isn't enough for us. You know, we need to, you know, be able to do different things every chance we get to draw people into the city. And with that's really all I have. I just want you to consider all that.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. Gender. I think the mayor has a comment.
Yeah, I think for the benefit of those watching at home and for the benefit of the council who may be a little curious as to the nature of your statements, I think it's important that Mr. Evans give us a brief background. But the crux of the issue is our zoning has not caught up to what you'd like to do. So I know there clearly it's what I call a – well, I'm not going to use that word. It's a cluster. So, but Mr. Evans, I know, and Ellen DeVita are working on it. But it's great that you're here to give a face and a voice to that issue, because we often find ourselves behind the eight ball because our local ordinances don't address what's really being done elsewhere. To your point, state level, county level, and Geneva hasn't addressed it. Whoopsie-daisy. So we're constantly tweaking our ordinances to address not only what you want to do, but what you do well. So that we're not the only community, you know, in the state of Illinois who doesn't allow talented people like yourself to not only make a living, but make the town even more special. So, Mr. Evans, with that.
Thank you.
The operative word being brief.
Okay. Thank you. The issue that we have, and you pretty much put your finger on it, is the issue is it's not Chef James. We know that he does a great job of cooking. We know that he knows how to prepare food. We understand that. It's the use of the public right-of-way for selling food. And, you know, we're in the midst of studying that, and to be fair, we've turned down a couple of other requests that people wanted to sell food on the public right-of-way, and we're just not set up to do that except during festivals. That's the only time that we've done this. And so that what we want to do is we're in the midst of studying it to help, you know, clear up that, and hopefully when we're done, we'll have a good, you know, ordinance that will apply, and it'll be flexible with, you know, the different events. But one of the things we want to avoid is under the guise of an event, people could even come out from out of town and sell on the street and things like that. And we really want to, you know, when it was initially, as the mayor brought up, this was like a 1975 regulation or something about transient merchants and itinerant vendors. And basically, it was largely intended to keep a lot of people from coming into town and just selling. And yeah, it's not as easy.
It was the preventing dogs playing poker rugs that were being sold.
Yeah. It just at a street corner.
Mr. Piper has a lot of those, but still.
Plans to join up once in a while.
There you go. At a street corner or something. So what we want to do is that control of it. And even though, you know, obviously a great Geneva business that Chef James has and, you know, his food, That's him. That's in this one instance. It doesn't say, well, he's okay to do it, but the guy next to him isn't, you know, because he doesn't have his license. We're looking mainly at the public right-of-way and the use of that, not whether the qualification of the people there. And that being said, we think that it's a straw flower shop. We think that this will be a good event for him. We trust that Chef James knows how to prepare the food and bring it to the site fine, and it'll work wonderful.
Thank you, Paul. I think Alderman Flanagan has a question.
Thank you, Chairman. Does it entail anything to do with health department? Because we don't have a health department, really. And so does Kane County end up having to step in at?
They do need to, and I know the Chef James works closely with the Bev Peel from the Kane County Health Department. We understand that.
So it has nothing to do with that. It's just right. Just what the
correct. Everybody, right. The food has to do with that. Anytime right. You prepare food, they have to have a approval from Bev or the Kane County Health Department. But this is more about people using the public right of way to sell and not having an establishment, you know, in town or on site or whatever. Okay. It's using the public right of way.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg, you had your hand up.
Oh, well, that's all I was going to say is I think that's a great distinguishing line is someone like Chef James has a downtown Geneva business who he's met everything, so he's helping out. So that would be an easy way, I think, to start. If you already have a business in Geneva, then you have more leeway.
Right, and that's one of the issues that we want to look at, too, the difference between somebody that's doing it charitable, you know, that is just giving it away, and somebody that's charging for it, and, you know, and that's the other part of it is, are they making a profit? Are they only covering their costs? You know, things like that. So when there's a nonprofit that's benefiting, that may have a different rule, different permit structure than somebody that is doing it for a profit.
Okay. Are there other questions from the council?
No. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I ask the mayor? I presume this is being worked on, and we'll see an ordinance, because there is a long process of public hearings, et cetera, for a zoning change. So
there is, and that was the question I was going to ask Mr. Evans, was the word study, how do you define that?
Well, we're in the midst. It's a code. It's not zoning as much as our code, and there's a lot of things that we're looking at that we want to change, but this is definitely one of those areas that we want to bring forward. So it would necessitate a bringing it to the council, but I'm not sure if that they're not public hearings for community code.
Oh, it's like an ordinance.
Or municipal, right.
The timing's good because we're entering the cooler weather, but right. Are we looking at 60 days before we see something before this body, 30 days?
I don't know. I'd say 60 days sounds right. Okay. You know, it's in the works.
I think a lot of people are curious as to when, so
right. That's
all.
I mean, we don't want to put an exact time frame on it, but I will say that there are meetings scheduled to look at this particular issue, and because we are kind of in the off season for outdoor dining and those kinds of things, we're hoping to get it done before we get back into the season.
Right.
Thank you, Paul.
I wanted to answer.
Yes, go ahead, Chef James.
You know, with the Board of Health thing, I mean, I am licensed by Kane County to serve and prepare.
I didn't
food.
Know how that worked.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know,
so I mean, it's basically the responsibility of any restaurant owner or, you know, the chef. They have to be certified. They have to have the manager's license and things like that, even to go on location.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, so I mean, it's my liability. It's, you know, I have a liability insurance for any type of incident that comes up for that. And also with this function, it isn't a profit-making function. It's a cost-covering function. I'm supplying very high-end hors d'oeuvres, you know, in crystal, giving them away, you know, for promotion and things like that. So, I mean, you know, we're just trying to recover for our labor and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's just teamwork. That's all it is.
Commend you.
Thank you, Jim. Yes.
Mr.
Pollack?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, would you know by chance if, because the county law is more specific, how does that applicable? Would that trump ours?
No, the county law does not address use of right-of-way. The county law addresses the health concerns. Just the health concerns. In fact, I'll give you an example. We had a business owner east of the river who wanted to serve hot dogs. He thought it'd be great. Why don't we just open a hot dog stand? He approached me while I was buying gas one day, and I said, that seems reasonable to me, but you better check out Mr. Evans and Ellen DeVita. The issue is the health department will close him down if he doesn't have the appropriate health license, and in order to secure the appropriate health license, it's a big to-do. I mean, Chef James knows this. It's a big to-do. They determine this isn't worth it. So mm-hmm. To literally open up a hot dog stand and serve would be a violation of county health department rules and regulations. Remember in the old days when one of the liquor stores here in town used to have the hot dog cart?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was charming as all heck. But
hey, I got engaged over dog at Island Park in a hot dog cart, which is now outlawed.
That's true.
So it's engagement for
guys. No comments on that one.
Is there not a
bifurcation of the two issues, the public right of way?
Public right of way is what the city of Geneva will address in its code modification. Health is what the county always addresses.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Alderman
Thank
Brown,
you.
Did you have another question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there not another issue here? Because this public right of way is state public right of way, whereas Third Street would be city public right of way.
Talking sidewalk.
Yes. The sidewalk is still state public right of way on State Street.
City.
It's city. Is city?
Yeah. The right-of-way stops at the curb line.
Sure.
Yes. I parked my car on the sidewalk tonight. So.
We can send the snowplow bill to the state now.
We were told otherwise at one point, so you better check on that for sure.
We will check.
It's our liability.
Okay.
Are there any other questions from the council about anybody in the audience? And if not, I'll be
Chef sure. James, where's your new location? I mean, it's not new, but
good idea.
We've got to cruise over there.
Well,
I know, but I want you to plug yourself.
We're back on Stevens Street, Habitat's Warehouse. We have a nice little studio back there, and it's really, you know, we had a big article in the King County Chronicle that was just,
it's awesome.
It was a surprise, but, it's really doing well, and I'll be coming back here really soon about the full-scale restaurant.
Oh, exciting.
So, I hope that, we did mention that before, so I hope that's something we can put into our plans later on.
Well, let's just vote on that tonight. What do you think?
And from my personal experience, the best Philly cheesesteak sandwich this side of the Schuylkill Expressway. Those of you who know Philly.
Name dropper.
I used to travel there, too.
Sam and Ben Franklin used to enjoy a good Philly sandwich every now and then.
We do need a vote on that motion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Fine, thank you. Okay, next is the discussion of Cultural Arts Commission, Public Art Draft Policy. Mr. Evans.
Thank you. We have members of our Cultural Arts Commission here tonight to present the draft public arts policy for the council to look at and consider. They're not seeking a recommendation tonight. They'd just like to try to explain it and go through it. And what we'd like is if you have any comments, then email them to me, and then I'll consolidate them and talk to the Cultural Arts Commission and then bring back a revised copy for recommendation at the next Committee of the Whole. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tim Vitang, Chairman of our Cultural Arts Commission.
Great. Mr. Vitang, please identify yourself and your address, please, sir.
Tim Vitang, 112 Ridge Lane, Geneva.
Thank you.
This evening we have some members of the Cultural Arts Commission also present. Vic Portencaso, Kent Gallagher, and Jan Schmuckel. Kent and Jan were the co-chairs of the committee that wrote this policy, and the commission spent quite a bit of time on it, probably going on 10, 12 months now. We've had a lot of feedback with city administration on it to bring you something that we think will be of benefit to the city. Public art, just the phrase invites all kinds of thoughts, comments, even reactions from people. There's a few quotes on one piece of sculpture that might be a little pertinent to this evening. There was criticism both of the statue and of the fact that the gift required Americans to foot the bill for the pedestal. There was another comment. Most Americans preferred realistic artworks depicting heroes and events from the nation's history rather than an allegorical work. With that said, it'd be hard to imagine New York Harbor without the Statue of Liberty. And I think those comments are typical any time a piece of public art is out there for the public to comment on prior to its installation. Even when you think of Millennium Park, I know for myself the first thing that comes to mind is what you call Cloud Gate, or we all refer to as the Bean. Oh, nice. I mean, it's got Cloud Gate.
Yeah.
I never even heard of that.
The Bean is so much more appropriate, I think, if you visited it. You don't think of the landscaping out there, the flower gardens, even the music band shell. You think of the Bean. So over time, cultural arts, very early in its existence identified a need for a public art policy. It was one of the things we had talked about. And it became more important when the city was the recipient of a donation that we call Rain Man. And regardless of how one personally felt about the sculpture, its setting, or even the cost of the installation, I think most people in the short time it's been up can really say that it does generate some interest on 3rd Street. If you go by on a hot summer day, you can often find kids playing in the water underneath it. Just the other day, I saw someone reading a book. You hear the water behind it. You don't hear the traffic going by. So that's kind of nice to drown out the noise. And even this weekend, and I wanted to get a picture of it, but it disappeared before I could, somebody had put a pumpkin on the outstretched hand of the sculpture. Thank you. And I think in time, the city's going to have more opportunities for art in the public venue, either by donation, such as this evening, or perhaps as part of a redevelopment project. And the question is, how do you determine whether it's appropriate or even desirable? So it's the intent of this policy to allow for a variety of opinions to be heard, let the public have a say by being part of the process. So with that, I'd like to quickly walk you through this, because it is an 8-page document. I believe you've all received copies of it for this evening. The first part is an introduction, and it really is the crux of it. We want to guarantee an approved, fair, and consistent public selection process of public art so that all citizens can access and participate in the cultural, economic, and social developmental opportunities afforded by public art. And it provides for stewardship for the public art and municipal collections, and ensure that the public art is included in the planning and design of publicly accessible spaces. It goes on to define public art, and I think the key feature of that part of the document is this policy will apply to public art that is created, facilitated, owned, or maintained by the city of Geneva, period. It does not talk about art that's on somebody else's property. It does not get involved with art that either the school or the library district, but really art that the city is going to take ownership of and by that ownership needs to maintain. Some of the guiding principles. Be accessible to all citizens by providing opportunities for participation that are equitable and inclusive. Be flexible to encourage a wide variety of creative expression. Be integral to the civic planning. And one example might be when Route 38 and the railroad tracks are reconfigured by Couts Road. It's going to become a new entryway to Geneva. And I would expect that sometime as that land is annexed, the city is going to want to have some sort of statement when people come into the community. And what better way to do it than with a piece of public art? And this provides a process that can happen. And on the objectives, again, it talks about wanting to encourage public participation, that you can enhance Geneva's beauty by public art. But the other thing is this is not just donations of art. It's also commissioned art, such as the example I just gave out on the eastern entryway. And there are some limitations to this policy. And the public, and I want to read them because they're very important, and they might alleviate some of the concerns that people may have on a public art policy. It does not cover heritage or historic buildings or landmarks. Privately owned works of art, except when they are located in a municipal space. And community art programs, those are not covered by it. So if the chamber wished to do an art project down 3rd Street like they did a few years ago with the bicycles, that is not part of this policy. That's really a zoning issue for the city or a development issue. The only time that would apply is if it results in a permanent installation of public art on the city property. And there's a relationship to the city's comprehensive plan of 2017, because one of the goals of the plan is to create a distinctive community identity that builds upon and enhances Geneva's traditional and historic qualities and characteristics while distinguishing it from surrounding communities. And art will let us do that. And how are we going to meet those objectives? Well, we want to create a public arts advisory committee, and they would make recommendations to the Cultural Arts Commission And then those recommendations we would take to the city council, who will ultimately have the final authority. It goes on to talk about the integration of art into public places. There are parks that we have currently that may be ideal sites for it. There may be entryways on streets that are redeveloped where there's a large piece of land. I think there's a city piece of land that is on James Street that overlooks the golf course. It's just kind of there. You know, that might be an ideal place for a nice sculpture or, you know, whatever we envision. And then it also talks about temporary art in public places. Some communities do this. They bring in temporary art for the summer season. St. Charles does it up in St. Mary's Park. One of the cities in the south suburbs does it. They bring in a number of sculptures from the SOFA exhibition, which is going to be held on Navy Pier in the near future. And they have them there for the better part of a year. And they're available for the public to view, but they're also available if somebody wishes to purchase it. But it really enhances the community down there. And they do it through the Park District. I think it's Village of Lamont. Yes, it's Lamont Park District. And that would be a way to enhance tourism in the community. And then it talks about the composition. And this is where we really tried to be as inclusive as we could. There would be a member of the Cultural Arts Commission who would be the chair, and it would consist of seven members. Someone from the Geneva Park District, they have a lot of art and have experience with it, and we do some public areas jointly with them. The Historic Preservation Commission, the Geneva Economic Development staff, a member of the Beautification Committee, and the Geneva Strategic Plan Advisory Commission, as well as the Geneva resident. And it should be noted that four of the seven positions are just residents of the community. So we want it to be led by the community and by the residents. And those appointments will be the responsibility of the Cultural Arts Commission with the advice and consent of the Cultural Arts Commission members. And then the responsibilities will be of the committee will be to hold regular periodic meetings as needed, and they will be governed by the Open Meetings Act. And they'll review all proposed public art projects, artwork, gifts, bequests, and donations to the City of Geneva. And there's a number of reasons for this. One is, aside from the controversy of various pieces of art, to ensure that they have a location that is appropriate for that particular work of art. And that's something that one person shouldn't decide, and I don't know that the mayor wants that full responsibility himself. And then the other part is there's a maintenance issue. If you accept a piece of art, you do have some obligation to maintain it in perpetuity. And it needs to be studied in advance so that you decide that, yes, this piece of art is something we want, but we can also afford to maintain it. It doesn't become cost prohibitive. And going back to the city of Lamont Park District, at a presentation I heard from them, they made a comment that they had one piece of sculpture that everybody was excited about, but they're finding at that time it was costing them about $10,000 a year to maintain it because it really wasn't designed for outdoor Chicago weather. And those are things we'd like to avoid by the collective wisdom of the group and having some public input. And then there's a code of conduct that addresses the members, that they're disqualified from directly or indirectly benefiting from their participation on the Public Art Advisory Committee during their tenure, and the city policy for conflict of interest will apply to those members also. And one of the general guidelines is that when they look at a work of art, you want something that's going to be there and will be become cherished and admired over the years, not something that at a quick glance you say, oh, gee, I kind of like that, and then after you think about it a while, maybe we acted in haste. So by having a deliberate process and getting people involved, we hope to avoid that it isn't something that's subject to, as the policy says, transient or ephemeral considerations and pressures. You'll have to look that word up because I can't even pronounce it. ephemeral. Thank you. And then there's also the management of the collection in terms of seeing that it's maintained and cared for in the long term. And then if there is a gift or donation or even a bequest to the city, that it goes through the process, and ultimately the city council will consider and make the final determination regarding the establishment of the respective artwork. And then there's also a process for deaccessioning the work of art. If at some point it's not there's a development that needs to take place and the piece either needs to be moved or there is no appropriate place for it, that it is another location is found, either in another community or somewhere else, and that it just isn't, as you say, maybe bulldozed over, that there is a proper process. And the hope is to use recognized museum standards and that any deaccessioning of this work of art would not be contrary to the terms by which the city accepted it. And then there is an opportunity to amend this by majority vote. So that's kind of the short version of it. It reads much better. And as Paul said, if you have any questions, the staff asks that you put them in writing, although you are welcome to call us if you need a little clarification on something. And I might suggest, if you're not sure about all the works of art that are currently in Geneva, feel free to contact the History Center. Margaret Solakovich gives a great tour of public art in Geneva, and I think you'd be amazed at how many pieces there are throughout the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vitang. Any comments from the council? Yes, Mr. Pollack?
Just quickly, Alderman Hill. Tim, thank you to you and the Cultural Arts Committee for your stewardship in promoting the arts. You know, as we saw tonight with our sister city in France, they identify themselves as a link to Impressionism, and Geneva, too, should distinguish and promote ourselves as art-centric. So thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Alderman.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to find out, who do we call? Do we call Paul, or if we don't intend to put it down in writing, so to say? Or
You're welcome to call me.
Okay.
4150? Either way, or email Mary or myself, you know, just so
okay.
Whatever you
so use. It's anybody.
Yeah, that would prefer that.
I think if you have suggested changes, it'd be best to contact Paul because we interact with the staff on the wording and so on.
Gotcha.
But if you have questions about it or have some ideas on things to, you know, that
might
you like about it or something, let us know.
Thanks.
Since this is only a discussion, we apparently have no vote to take. The next item on the agenda is consider the draft ordinance amending Ordinance 2007-27 to reconstitute the membership of the Special Service Area Number 1 Advisory Committee to the Geneva City Council. Mr. Evans, I think this is...
Thank you, Chairman Hill. As you know, over this last year, we had dissolving the Geneva Downtown Partnership, and with that, they were the overseeing body on the Special Service Area Number 1. And so, for that reason, and it's actually, if you and as I know, a number of you are familiar with, it started out as a Joint Parking Committee, then it was Geneva Business Committee and Geneva Downtown Partnership, and through that. You know, staff appreciates the input of each of those groups and the perspectives that they bring. Tonight, staff is saying that we think that in the past, most of these budgets have been developed by the city administrator with the input from Public Works and the other departments, and we'd like to formalize that as a committee to take over that responsibility that we'd bring to the council every year. And so with that, we're changing the ordinance that had previously put Geneva Downtown Partnership as the overseeing body.
Any questions or comments on this request from the staff? Yes, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. Certainly it was reconstituted in the beginning as Joint Parking Committee to identify parking opportunities downtown. And we certainly in the intervening years have identified and developed just about most of the parking opportunities that exist. So we're certainly transitioning into a maintenance period where, indeed, the city staff is much more on top of the maintenance than the parking, the various committees you mentioned ever were. And so this is entirely a natural thing to do. I hope we won't forget that it is still important for us to try to identify new parking opportunities as they might arise downtown. And I think this puts it then in the lap of the council if they see possibilities, any council member or any citizen, to come to the staff, the mayor, the alderman, the mayor, or Ms. McKittrick or any other staff member and say, you know, there are possibilities here. The city ought to look into them. So I hope in this transition to what becomes more of an appropriate maintenance structure, we don't lose track of the fact that we should still be looking for opportunities.
That is very much on the minds of staff, and that's one of the reasons we really hope that is studied heavily, and there's a recommendation that comes out of the Downtown Master Plan that also deals with identifying opportunities for parking or needs. They're going to study, in general, the parking capacities in different areas. And if it's such that a certain area needs more, they would look for what opportunities exist. So that is currently in the works.
Thank you. I certainly support this motion.
Alderman Marks.
Paul, just a couple of questions.
Sure.
You know, the original memo that I read had capped if they were ever going to issue bonds to 9%. In here, in this new ordinance, it also is now referring to shown in the TO bonds index for average municipal bond yields. Have we changed?
No, that's just
the original wording that
right.
was there? Because the memo didn't go to that extent.
It's largely the initial ordinance that we had back in, part of 97-07, and then okay. and then since then. But those bonds have already
that's
been
all,
right.
Yeah, yes. but if we do, originally there was some cap in that original ordinance. Of
yes.
9%, but is this a change to that wording, or
no,
was that in the original
that is the
ordinance?
Same. The 9% and the 125, all that is the same.
Same, okay. And then the 3% also, that the special annual tax shall be limited to the total of said
that's
tax
the same.
Not exceed,
yeah,
right?
I
that's
think we
all
got to clarify that, but yeah.
That's all I wanted to make sure
okay.
that we weren't changing something
no.
that it originally was.
No, that's
on.
Not
no,
the
that's
intent.
That's all the questions I have.
Other questions or comments from the council? Any questions or comments from the audience? Hearing none, let's have a vote.
We don't have
a motion yet, right?
Yeah,
somebody want to make a motion?
I'm sorry. There was not a motion for this issue.
All right. Will you make one, sir?
I will, sir.
Good.
I so move.
Mr. Singer?
Second.
By Mr. Mark. All those in favor of this issue, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. And the draft ordinance has been approved. Next is the consider the draft ordinance proposing it for the establishment of a special service area, number 28, and providing for a public hearing and procedures in connection with Northern Illinois Food Bank for stormwater detention.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Pollack. Alderman Vogelsberg. Was that Alderman Vogelsberg?
Yes.
Fine. Thank you. Any questions or comments on this issue? Any questions from the audience? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Next on the agenda is consider approval of evaporation credit for Del Nor Hospital and suspension of future credits allowed by Title 9-2A-4B of the Geneva City Code. We should have a question of that.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
By Flanagan, second by Singer. Any questions, comments? Yes, Alderman Marks.
Just has any other organization or company in the city asked for this yet? I mean, because currently, if I'm not mistaken, if someone wants to fill their pool, they're charged the sewer rates and stuff. Is that, I mean, you know what this
right, right.
How this is that budget is this make sense at this point?
This is, under this code, this is just for non-residential customers who can establish that by installing their own metering and doing maintenance on it to the satisfaction of staff and you folks that they can receive this credit then. So that's I've been working with Del Nor since April of 2009 when they sent me their request on this and have been reviewing their process because it's a little bit more complex than a typical just – you know, put water in a tank and send it up to a cooling tower. So I made them go through a pretty lengthy process to prove to us that the evaporation was accurate, and that's where we're at here today. So, yes, I'm sorry, to answer your question, there are other companies in Geneva that do have this. There's, take for example, not necessarily cooling towers, but Burgess Norton through their processing, Johnson Controls through their processing. We have sanitary flow meters, and there's a significant difference between the water that they use and what goes into the sewer.
So we do this for other companies with
yes, we do. Okay. But I thought that, and I by putting this on the agenda today, I've already received one phone call today asking. Now that it's out there, I mean, they didn't read it in the code, but now that it's out there, they were asking for this credit also. And I said, well, it's kind of what I'm doing here. I mean, we're already kind of in trouble in our finances as it is, and I can't see continuing to, I guess, burden everybody in the city of Geneva for them getting the sewer credit.
You know, so are we going to be inspecting that equipment then once a year, or is there a policy for that, or?
There's no policy. That's something I'm going to be working on. So, yes.
Okay. But currently right now we do have a couple of other entities within the city that do use, that pay differently because of metered inflow and outflow.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. I believe the important point here, these are permanent installations. So these are permanent processes, and they believe that since they're permanent processes, they should be in a position to buy their own metering on the input and the output. Is that correct? As
That's
opposed
correct.
To filling a swimming pool.
Right. This correct.
Is,
Absolutely.
Permanent manufacturing processes, they only apply to commercial customers.
Correct.
Correct.
Well, commercial industrial, yes.
Commercial industrial. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the dais? Yes, Alderman Melandra.
Bob, I'm afraid I'm confused about something you were saying towards the end. So we already have non-residential water customers for whom we do this, correct?
That's correct.
You've also recently received requests from other non-residential customers who want to do this, and you indicated that may not be possible.
All that I'm asking is that we suspend it right now until our, I guess, income meets our projections is what I'm asking for.
Well, I understand that, but does that not then make us inconsistent? Mm-hmm.
That's not part of this motion.
Yes, sir.
That needs to be clarified. That's not part of this motion tonight. So it would require Mr. Van Gescom to return and ask for a suspension and or make a staff decision on a suspension. Because you're right. Otherwise.
He is asking for
yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, the way that it's written here and the way I'm coming out tonight is that I would like to ask for.
I thought I was referring to only Delmar. Excuse me.
Any future credits for right now
Sorry,
until our.
I believe we started this as a pilot program to see how it would work and kind of what the financial impact would be. And what we're asking now is, given the changing times, is to suspend it so we can review it and make sure it is a program we want to continue with. Okay. Just like any other ordinance, we could stop these at any time. Or rather, you all could stop at any time.
Okay. So we're saying let's not suspend it for Delnor, but then let's suspend it after that?
Well, Delnor, we had already entered an arrangement for them to install all the equipment and expend the money to put in the equipment. What we're saying is we're not going to authorize somebody else to expend funds to put in the equipment until we've had a chance to review it. They had already expended their funds because we had said it's a pilot program.
They also have two other areas within the hospital complex that they're looking to do the same thing at about a fifth of the savings that they're looking at now.
So even though this is the third one, in some sense this is slightly different than the other two industrial processes, and this is opening it up to a wider field, this is opening up the whole field of air conditioning.
Yes. By the way the code is written, yes.
This is a little tricky because you're claiming this is at least the third one, and yet it's a pilot. But I can understand it's a pilot in the sense that it's not the same thing that happened at industrial water processes, where You have a process that you can meter the input and the output, and it's not the company's whole water flow. It's the water flow for some particular process. This is different. We're talking here about air conditioning.
In a sense, yes.
Alderman Pollock?
Bob, refresh my memory. Who generates more revenue, residential or non-residential, in terms of water?
I don't remember. I think it's residential.
I think it's mostly the residential that makes up the largest amount of our revenue, because that has changed over the course of past probably 10 years.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the dais? Any questions from the audience? Did we receive a motion on this?
To reiterate, the suspension is part of the motion then. Is that correct? I asked the motion.
It is. Yes. So what it's doing then is it's approving it for Delanor but suspending it going forward.
Correct.
Right. But by approving for Delanor, we're just following through on a commitment that we already made.
Point of order.
Yeah. Alderman Flanagan?
I just, to clarify, we're doing this because we want to tighten up our code, or we are looking at eliminating the?
I'm not looking at eliminating the code. I am just very concerned at the revenues that are coming in right now.
So we're just putting it on hold.
That's all I'm doing. Until revenues match our projections, I've got to come to you and say, I can't afford another $12,000 reduction in our sewer. So,
Mr. Singer, did you have a question, sir?
Yes, I was asking if the motion could be read. Clarification, is this what it is we're voting on?
Consider approval of evaporation credit for Delanor Hospital and suspension of future credits allowed by Title 9, 2A, 4B of the Geneva City Code.
Okay, just as it reads in the agenda. Thank you.
Right, just as it's been printed.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from the desk?
Well, I'm still fuzzy on this. So I understand the suspension. What I'm failing to understand is the Delanor part. So we're saying that if we continue to do these credits, given the current state of our water fund and our financial picture, that could be harmful. I get that. So why are we saying let's give this one and then call them all off?
You're exactly correct. I think that there's a concern here. What I proposed was going back on an agreement that I had with Delanor.
That's what I needed
to say, let's go with this pilot program. Once that you have established this to our satisfaction, then I will move forward with this to the City Council.
Okay. So I got it.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's okay, Gilly.
No such thing as a dumb question.
Unless it comes to me.
Call the question.
Any other questions?
Mr. Hill.
Yes, sir. Alderman Brown.
Thank you. I hate to be the person who brings up the dumb nitpicking question, but as read by the clerk, it did not include the final clause until revenues meet projections, which is in the written agenda of the meeting, but was not in the read. The person who made the motion, do they believe that until revenues meet projections is in the motion? The printed agenda that appears on the city website has the words until revenues meet projections. Not on the printed copy we got tonight, but the one listed on the city website.
It does state it, though, in the suggested action.
Yes. Do you mean that? And if so, we have a real problem, because next month the revenue could meet projections for some reason, extreme drought in the month of November
Nice.
Or something. Do you want to include the phrase until revenues meet projections, or do you just want to suspend it?
What I would expect, my anticipated coming here tonight was to, as you correctly stated, to suspend it until revenues meet projections. Any further entity that comes to me or to anybody within the city and asking for a credit, I believe has to come to you folks to ask for that this suspension be rescinded. That's the crux of what I'm looking at.
we still have a problem because, you know, if you include the words until revenues meet projections, then there's a problem that someone could argue, well, last month there was absolutely no question that your revenues met your projections. So I think it's better the way it was read by the clerk without that phrase. It's suspended indefinitely until you come to the council and ask us to revoke the suspension.
I would be more
is that what the who is the motioner? Is that what the motion?
I was the motioner.
Is that what you intend?
If there's a friendly, I don't know, well, comment to remove the wording until revenues meet projections.
Doesn't need to be removed. It wasn't there.
No, that was
it
the way it
there?
Was read.
That's the way it was read.
Okay, because I understood
just
it as being
strike
there.
Until
so
revenues meet projections.
It wasn't read, was it?
It
wasn't
I'll
read
do a motion.
No, it was not. That's what confused me. That's why I asked the amendment to be.
Alderman Singer asked for it to be read. It was read by the clerk. Yes. She did not include the words until revenue meets projections. So that is currently the motion on the floor. Does
that's
not
that's
include
correct.
The phrase.
Right.
Correct, Mr. Piper.
Right.
I made the motion stated the way the
clerk.
It was printed on the prepared agenda.
No.
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 Yes.
Yes.
No, on the prepared agenda is correct.
The prepared agenda does not agree with the packet that's on the
no,
website.
It doesn't.
That's
right.
The problem.
And I'm
I
referring
think the prepared agenda is the one
I'm,
that actually
I'm
takes
precedence.
I'm
referring to item G as written on the agenda of right. October 11th.
Right. Okay, great. Sorry I brought it up, but I think this is the official copy because this is the one that's posted at City Hall, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct. So this
okay.
is official. Thank you.
So the words until revenue do not exist on the motion that was provided, and we'll now take a vote on that. Other questions, though?
I just wanted to verify one thing. So the credit we're working on tonight is only for the west portion, not for the east portion of it. So
it's correct. Just they haven't installed any metering.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion that is presented on the printed agenda, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay.
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 Two nays. Thank you. Next, consider the draft resolution authorizing an amendment to contract with Waterwell Solution to a not-to-exceed amount of $60,376.62.
So moved.
There a motion. There's a motion by Alderman Piper.
Second.
Second by Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments from the dais?
Just real quick, is well 3 over by the high school?
3 is by the high school. Is that
yes,
right, Bob?
Yes,
yeah,
thanks.
Any other questions or comments by
dais?
Questions or comments from the audience? All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay.
A lot of P's there.
That's right.
Yeah. Next is to consider a draft resolution authorizing execution of a contract with Stewart's Spreading in the amount of $40,000 for 2010 biosolids disposal by land application.
So moved. Second.
So moved by Alderman Vogelsberg. Mm-hmm. Second by Alderman Singer. Any questions or comments from the dais? Yes. Alderman Pollack?
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Bob, when this sludge comes from the wastewater treatment plant, is it deemed a hazardous material or any part of it?
No, it's considered to be a beneficial reusable product.
Okay, so there's no issues regarding hazardous materials laying around and being transported?
No, this is all covered under our NPDES permit that we okay. also have. So
good. All right, thanks.
Any other questions from the dais? Yes, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, sir. Bob, who provides the transportation?
I'm recommending that Stewart Spreading is providing the transportation for this year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or questions from the dais? Comments or questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. All right. All right, next on the agenda is letter J, consider draft resolution authorizing a contract with Kramer Tree Specialist for 2011 through 2015 brush collection program. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Yes,
second.
Alderman Piper. And Alderman Malandra did the second? I'm sorry. Alderman Marks.
The guys with the fewest trees.
So, yeah. Any questions or comments from the dais? Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Thanks. Mr. LeMaire, now I see that nobody, there was only one bid, and that was from Kramer. And I must say that Kramer Services is outstanding. Any complaints, they handle. They do a nice job picking up after themselves, so kudos to you. Any idea why no one else bid this?
Well, it seems like we did get confirmation from the bidders. We did receive letters from all three that did not submit a bid, and they do not have the equipment or do not participate in this type of work. This is kind of a unique service. But I did have a long discussion with Asplund, and they're quite interested, but at this time they don't have the equipment or the manpower. But they may be looking into it.
And Kramer's bid was how much? 18.9
a month.
Yeah,
for the first 2011.
18.9 a month. Okay.
Then it goes to 19.
All right.
Yes, Alderman Piper. Thanks. I have a question for Mr. LeMaire.
No, not a question for Mr. LeMaire as much as hopefully help for Mr. LeMaire to everyone watching at home as the leaves fall. Please do not put them in the gutter.
Thank you.
As they are, as I see people already raking them into the street, please don't put them in the street so that none of us have to stop by your house and ask you not to do that.
Please check the website for
the
schedule.
Please check the website, yes.
Yes, and the details, please.
And the video.
Make everybody, at the video of Alderman Hill.
It's available on the website.
Academy Award winning role as the lazy person.
Please watch it. Please check it out.
That was a nice nap. Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
That's really great, but this is brush. So they better not be putting brush in the street.
Brush, I don't care what it is. Okay. I've already seen them doing it. I'm just trying to help.
Very good, though. The cost that we tried to do the rebate, I mean, when we're costing this out for the residents,
yes.
Is it still meeting projected costs? Are we still covering the?
Yes, we are. Yes. And we'll adjust the costs based on this new contract for the next 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So
there might be, and
there's going to be cost increases. It averages about 2.5% over the next 5 years.
Okay.
So it's about 2% each year, which is consistent with the current contract that we have.
Okay. I hope that the Asplund. Jumps in quickly so we can get some
competition.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. A nice segue from Alderman Flanagan. If we're hoping that another company will jump in, isn't a five-year contract kind of a long contract? Because I remember, is the present one a five-year contract?
The present one's three. Uh-huh. So we did want to enter into a longer-term contract so we wouldn't have to go through this process again quite so soon.
That's certainly a two-edged sword.
Well, it could be, sure. Yeah, it could be. But there's no guarantees that we're going to have anybody interested anyway. I mean, it's Asplund called me, wanted information, but again, they don't have the equipment. They don't say, they don't guarantee they're going to get into the business. That's not to say that, you know, you're right. There could be some other, you know, competitors out there that might want to get into it.
Yeah. You know, I have to agree with Alderman Brown. Thanks.
Other questions?
We'd have to rebid if we went out for three only, I presume.
Yeah. I mean, five's an awful long time, and boy, oh boy.
Is that correct? Was the bid specification for only a five-year contract?
This year, yes, for this contract.
So we would have to rebid, so maybe.
Yes, we would.
It's not necessarily productive either.
Mm-mm.
You could end up with a higher bid.
Well, that's what I was. Yeah.
But, I think in the future, if that's what the council desires, is maybe a three instead of five-year. You know, maybe we can do that and make sure we do it in a three-year increments instead of five.
Yes, Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as it was said, the service is going very well, and they're the only ones that have bid, so I'm fine with the five-year because if we're happy with it today, we will be happy with it in 5 years. Just because another company gets involved doesn't mean it'll be lower. So I like to leave it just the way it is.
But there's going to be no company. I presume there's going to be nobody to go out for bid even for the 3 year.
It'll be the same
thing. Other than the same person.
Yeah, it'll be the same thing. Same results.
Other questions or comments?
Go ahead, Ray.
No, I just disagree. Look, you know, the economic times being what it is, I would certainly think that we would have a more competitive environment with people knowing that this was not bid out. And I don't think it would hurt to shorten the term of the contract to, say, 3 years as opposed to 5 years. That's all.
Alderman Maladra?
So when you talk to Asplund H, they indicated that they're thinking about it, but they don't have the equipment or the manpower.
Right. They did call and inquire about what type of, you know, the specs, right. You know, whereas the two other bidders outside of them just called to say back, you know, or just returned a letter saying that we don't do this work.
Right.
But they actually inquired about what was involved in the process of this particular service.
So what is the equipment exactly?
It's large trucks with grappling hooks on them type
of thing. So there's a certain cost to entry as well. I think that if another firm does decide to get into this business, to assume that they're going to do it cheaper than Kramer is not necessarily a sound assumption, because there's a large capital investment required to get into the business to begin with. Unless there's a huge market demand for it, I don't know how they could go low and recoup that investment. So if we assume that Kramer is not just reasonable because they're the only player in the game, but that this is sort of the going rate, to assume that another player can get in, may or may not get in, and then it may or may not be lower, I think that it's just as likely that they would be higher because they have to recover their cost of entry into the market. So like anything else, given these uncertain economic times, if we can lock in our cost at a reasonable increase for the foreseeable future, that seems to be the least risky option. So I would go with the 5-year contract.
Yeah, that's what
I meant. Just exactly.
Yeah,
it makes
sense.
The logic was good.
Any other questions or comments from the dais? Any questions or comments from the audience? It's time to vote. All those in favor to consider the draft resolution authorizing contract with Kramer Tree Specialist for 2011-15 brush collection program, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
One nay. Okay, next is new business. Does anybody have new business to be brought up tonight? From the dais, from the staff. Is there a hand? Oh, Mr. Dinges.
When did he sneak in? Alderman Piper stole my thunder a little bit. I just wanted to remind
everybody.
He's like that.
Wanted to remind everybody about our new leaf collection program. That this is our first year that it's going to be outsourced. Kramer Tree Service is doing that. The schedule is different. It's only going to take them 3 days, where it took us 5-plus days to do it. So the residents need to pay attention to the schedule, because it's not necessarily on a Monday. We start October 5th in Zone B, which is a Monday. Then it'll go to Zone C October 28th, which is Thursday. So it's every 3 days. So they need to really pay attention to the schedule. It's all online. We've been putting it in the utility bills, we've tried to hit everything. So hopefully they've got it. It's probably going to be the first year, so there's going to be some growing pains. But as they get used to it, the difference is we are getting 3 pickups where we only did 2. Their service will end on November 29th. And then, as you know, Allied Waste, our waste hauler, has the program for the month of December, where they can put it in the yard waste bags. No sticker required. They put it on their garbage day, and Allied Waste will take it in December. So those are the options that they have available. And 2 weeks from now, they'll be starting to collect leaves. So hopefully the weather will cooperate, and we won't have the issues we've had in the past. That's all I have.
Leaves are already down.
Well, now that'll be the complaint, is that we're not here soon enough, but 2 weeks we'll be there.
Kids, get out there and knock the leaves out of the trees.
It's very important to follow those schedules now, and that's different, so that's going to be interesting. Any other new business for the committee of the whole meeting? Upcoming meeting, next committee of the whole is October 25th. And is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Alderman Marks and seconded by Alderman Singer.
Good night, Paul.
All in favor?
Aye. He just made the assumption we'd all be for it, and he'd be right.
Do it.
No. Popsicle stand.
Bill Byzantium.